Good to see so many familiar faces. Had to walk downstairs and reminisce just of coming to Vacation Bible School back when I was really little and growing up not far from here. So certainly nice to be back. It's good to be here. I grew up, just a few miles south and just a couple miles west, I guess. And you'd be right where I grew up. And this looks like home and feels like home. I've been on a journey with Jesus, trying to figure out what my role is in life, and what my role is in the community, and what my role is in the neighborhood. Why has He put me where He's put me? Why at this time in the world? I mean, there's times where I think it would have been totally cool to live on Little House on the Prairie time. That sounds great. Why wasn't I born then? Which I know it's because I appreciate toilet paper. That'd be my one thing that I would really miss if I went back in time. But he put me here, and He put you here. You know, I mean, we're all here at this point in time in the history of the world, and figuring out, like, why, and what's our role, and what's our responsibility. So, one of the things, can I step off of here? Is that okay? Can I move? Okay. All right. So one of the things that I have been trying to navigate is with my neighbors, and what's that look like. And I realize that I've ran into some challenges. Some of it is, a lot of times I don't see them outside. They're just not out, right? If I happen to catch them, it's because they're out mowing their grass. Or they happen to be out for a walk, but that can be a real challenge trying to figure that out, especially if they don't walk past much. We've transitioned homes, you know, where we now have garages that are often attached to the house, so you just pull right in, you close the door, you open the door, you leave, and you never really do much out time. We have air conditioning in a lot of our homes, so we don't sit on the front porch much anymore because it's been hot, right? So, I mean, there's different belief systems, and there's, I don't know if I'm welcome there sometimes. So, those are a couple things that I've ran into trying to figure out, like, how do I connect with my neighbors? How do I be Jesus to them? What are some challenges you've had connecting with the people around you? Now, I'm talking, like, in your literal neighborhood. What's the challenges you face? And this is going to be a time where you guys respond, okay? Going to make it easier if you do. Different work schedules. Okay? Yep, that can be shift work or, yeah, hitting different times. I need a few more. Oh, actually being there on their cell phone. I've certainly sat with people while they're on their phone while I'm trying to be with them. Have you done the same? Have you been the person that was on the phone when somebody... Okay, sometimes, yeah. Yep. Okay, so distraction, certainly. Need a few others. COVID. Oh, yeah. What do we do with our neighbors? I certainly went through that wrestle. Like, I really want to invite them over, but I feel like that's almost the wrong thing to do. So I'm not really sure what to do. So, yeah, we stayed away. Others. Yep. You just don't like people. Is that you or Steve? Could be both. Okay. Yeah, we just don't like people. Jesus is going to have something to say about that today. I'm just going to throw that out there. Okay? We come to the country, or people come to the country to get away from people, and they don't want to visit. Okay, yeah. And does that make it hard, like, to talk to them? Oh, working. Yep, hit some of those schedules. Yep, different age. Sure. I think she called you out, man. Uh-huh. Yeah. Ouch. I'm just tired. I've come into my castle. I want to be in my place. you're peopled out. I'm done peopling. I think someone I live with and am married to has that t-shirt. I'm done peopling. I don't think she has it on until I come home. Sometimes. That's. I'm here to put this t-shirt on for just a moment. At least I get a warning. I do. Yeah. You've been married a long time, Gene. I'm assuming you've had a warning. Okay. Just my guess. Yeah. I'm going to have to do some assumption math to figure that one out. Man. So I remember moving into the neighborhood. And I'm going to tell you a little bit of a journey that I've had specifically with one neighbor that's just been really impactful for me. Maybe has helped shape a little bit of what my role is and even what I see the church as and what our role is in the community and what we can learn from our neighbors. So I remember we'd moved into the neighborhood and it was several weeks before anybody came to say hi. Now, just so we're clear, like if I ever move into your neighborhood, I really like coconut pie. Okay? Any flavor of coconut pie that you know how to make, I probably like it. Okay? And I just always kind of hope somebody will say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. Okay, but anyway, nobody did. Until finally one day, a guy pulls up in his pickup truck. And he starts to get out of the truck, and I don't know who it is, I've moved in. And I notice in one hand he's got a beer, and in his other hand he's got a cigarette. And he gets out, and he starts to introduce himself, and we start a bit of a dialogue. And I'm kind of, you know, feeling out who is this guy, and finally realize he's the neighbor that lives about a mile and a half up the road. And he's asking me some questions. And I remember as we start this dialogue, one of the first, in that first conversation, he finally asks me, what do I do? And I'm telling you, there's a bit of uncomfortableness in me about to say what I do, okay? Not that I'm ashamed or embarrassed of what I do, but oftentimes, I don't know, sometimes people get uncomfortable when they know that you work at a church, that you're a pastor, that just kind of is uncomfortable. So what do you do? I say, well, hey, I'm a pastor, and he, the next word's out of his mouth. Well, just want to let you know that I don't need to be converted, okay? So that's kind of how we start our conversation is, I don't need to be converted. And all right, all right. That's usually not my first conversation that I have with people. Okay, maybe I should do better at that. But he started out there and then he says this. And we had, it was a good conversation. He says, tell you what, you have any troubles in the neighborhood, you let me know and I'll take care of things for you. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of neighborhood I moved in at that point in time. I think I'm really appreciative that my neighbor has offered to take care of any troubles that I might have. But I'm not real sure what kind of problems I might have that he might need to take care of for me. I will, full disclosure, having now a 17-year-old daughter, I have plenty of reasons where I see he could take care of things for me. Okay? Just come down, and for anonymity, because I know this is recorded, I'm just going to call my friend W, for today. So I know that I can just, you know, any boys cause any problems, and I can drop them off at W's, and I can leave. I don't ask any more questions. He's going to take care of things for me, okay? So in that, I am the neighbor that, like, I'm like, man, I'm here on purpose. I'm supposed to, I think, connect with people. We would grow a garden. I love gardening, and I've got often too much of something. Okay, you guys have had those seasons. I mean, too much squash, too many cucumbers, too much sweet corn. I can do something, and like, I'm going to offer to share that. So drive around, and sometimes me and my kids, we'd take a go-kart ride, and I'd stop down at my friend W's, okay? And we'd talk and trying to get to know him, and I don't know if you guys remember this, but I remember kind of being taught, we're supposed to, like, invite people where? To church, right? I mean, that's kind of like the thing. So, I mean, that's always kind of in the back of my head. Like, I think I'm supposed to, like, at least have some conversation with people because it's really hard to invite people to some place if you don't know them, right? I mean, that's harder. I mean, so anyway, I'm not ready to invite him to church. I want to get to know him, want to have conversations. So I remember some times of inviting him over for a meal, and I'm not really sure, and eventually maybe he might commit that he's going to come over, and then he'd cancel at the last minute. And we kept this up for a while, okay? And this journey that I've been on has been over several years, okay? Almost like a decade at this point in time. And I'm sharing this because I want to see the long arc of, I don't know what God is up to in all of this. But as I get to know him more and more, we keep stopping. He's one of the guys that when we're out walking, he'll stop and talk to us, okay? Shut off the truck. And as I notice, as he's driving home or driving to work, he typically has a beer in one hand and a cigarette in another. Matter of fact, that's most of the time, which I don't know, if you're out walking and people are driving and they're drinking, sometimes you get a little anxious, like, do we need to scoot over? But he's always kind of paying attention to us, stopping and saying hi, loving on my kids, encouraging them, has just become this great neighbor, okay? Just somebody that's really, just become a really good neighbor of ours. And I remember the first time finally where, like, I had invited him over to cookouts multiple times. And we had a bunch of people from church over. We had kind of this cookout outside, and I see him drive past. There goes W. I'm like, I'm going to call him and see. I mean, I see him. Like, right now, I see him. He's close. I call him. It's interesting. I can see the brake lights come on, okay? He stops and talks to me for a second. Say, hey, we have a cookout. Why don't you come on by? He goes, all right, well, I'm going to go home. I'm going to get changed. I'm going to get cleaned up, and I'll be back. So about 20 minutes later, up he comes, pulled up right beside the fire, okay? All the chairs are around. Gets out of the truck at my church potluck with, got it, you got it? Okay, I'm just helping plant the scene of kind of what life is like. And we small talk for a little bit. I kind of want to introduce him to some of my friends. I'm honestly a little bit anxious about that because I've got some friends that are at the cookout that have struggled from alcoholism in the past, and how's all this going to go, and why is the pastor inviting some over that's bringing beer, you know, to the cookout kind of thing. And finally he says, do you mind if we go out back behind the barn? I'm thinking some other neighbor has asked him to take care of me, you know? I'm not real sure what's going through my mind at that point in time. I said, that'd be fine. So we went out back behind the barn, and we talked for almost 2 hours. He shared some pretty heavy things that have gone on in his life and some hurts and probably some stuff that, frankly, if I were him, I'd probably be drinking too. Okay? Just some things that probably hurt pretty deep. Had a good conversation. I got to the end. I'm like, hey, do you mind if there's some heavy stuff you shared? Do you mind if I pray with you today? Well, I guess that'd be all right. You know? So, I mean, he kind of has a bit of a scruffy talk. So sorry if I emulate him at times. But he says that'd be all right. And I go ahead and I pray with him. And I mean, I do my best like prayer, asking God to bless him and help him with some of the challenges. And I remember he left. As he left, I like realized my cookout ended a while ago, okay? So like missed most of the cookout out talking, but just had a deep conversation with my friend that's trying to figure out some things in life. A bit longer, me and my kids are out on another one of our walks, and I said, hey, son, I don't know who we're supposed to talk to, but I think we should just go out for a walk, and if we see any of our neighbors out, we'll talk to them, okay? And if I don't see any out, we're going to stop down at the closest neighbor about a quarter mile down the road. So we go out for our walk, and we're walking along, and sure enough, we get to the stop sign a quarter mile down the road, and guess who pulls up? My friend W, okay? And we're a few years into this relationship, so he's getting a little bit more comfortable with me, and I'm getting more comfortable with him. He knows my son. My son has learned a lot of new words in life that sometimes we have had to debrief about, okay? About what, you know, kind of, yeah. So we stop and talk, and he shuts off his car. So it's going to be a bit of a talk. We talked for a while, and there were some issues that was going on in the life at that point in time. And I remember people driving past, and every time it wasn't really sure if it was a cop. And, well, you remember, right? So, you know, put it in the coat pocket, okay? Just to kind of hide things for a second. And they'd leave, and we'd start talking again. And I get to the end, and again, it's some heavy stuff. And I haven't invited him to church yet. I just want you to hear that, okay? Like, at this point in time, I'm just like, would you mind if I prayed with you about that? That's some pretty heavy stuff. I says, I think that'll be all right. So I started to pray. I did my best prayer again, kind of what's going on. And when I got done, for the first time I ever heard some words coming out of his mouth. It was it. First time I've ever heard him pray. I'm going to modify it just a little bit. But the prayer was something simple. And dear Lord, please help Satan get his foot out of my, because he's got it up there deep. Amen. Okay? Now I'm going to tell you, theologically, it's a really accurate prayer. Okay? There's some heavy things that happen in that. He admitted that there's a God. Okay? Admits that there's a devil. Admits that the devil causes him problems. And admits that he thinks God has the power to get the devil to stop. Right? I mean, it revolutionized our meal prayer. Okay? I'm just kidding. We don't quite pray like that. But that's... but yeah, I mean, that was the first time of going, huh? I mean, this is something different. We've continued to delve into the relationship a little bit further until a couple years ago. I've invited my friend W to a lot of my cookouts, but my friend W has never invited me to a cookout, okay? And we pull up, and I'm driving, and we're kind of coming opposite directions, and I pull over, and he pulls over, and we talk for a little bit, and he says, hey, I'm going to have a cookout this coming Friday night, and wondered if you'd like to come. Yes, I'd like to come. I mean, I love that I'm invited to if anybody wants to invite me to a cookout, I love to come to those, just saying. But he invites me, and I'm thinking, yeah, that'd be great. He says, but it's probably not the kind you want to bring your kids to. Oh, okay. All right, because a lot of times my kids come up with me. So I said, okay. So I come over to the party on Friday night, and very cordial, okay? I mean, people offer if I want drinks, if I want to sit. They're playing some games, money involved, ask if I want to sit down and play with them, okay? I mean, you guys, it's kind of the parties you guys have, right? Yeah. So, definitely, okay. All right, I figured. So anyway, that's what he's invited me to, and I come down, and I remember that the president of our seminary is in town that weekend, staying at my house. And I have to ask Dr. Sleesman, like, kind of for permission. I'm going to go down to my neighbor's house for a cookout party, and I'm going to need you to stay here. Because I'm not really sure how all that's going to go. And what was interesting about that, he says, now, I don't want you to tell them what you do. Sure enough, okay? That usually changes the dynamics of conversations. He says, I'm going to wait till you're there about a half an hour, and then I want to tell them. He does. So anyway, about 30 minutes in, everybody's talking to me, so I says, you know, he's a preacher, don't you? And I mean, you know, people are spitting beer out of their mouth, and you know, the whole nine yards, people are burning their hands with cigarettes, I mean, all the kind of stuff, and you're kidding. And eventually, I'm going to fast forward for time's sake, I get ready to go inside to check if there's any cornbread, because he kind of has a shed that he has this, and he has this, like, every Friday night. Okay, he has people over and they eat together and they play together and they have time together. I mean, it's honestly, it's kind of a, like, wow, that's, I don't know, maybe the church is missing something in that regard. Where, I mean, like, every Friday night they're together and it's a good time. And as I go in, somebody comes out and walks in with me and she says, you really preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. Be all right if I talked with you at some point in time? Sure, like, you want to talk now? No, look at me later. I said, okay, W's got my phone number. Okay, you can give me a call anytime, that'll be fine, and we can talk. So fast forward some more, I get ready, and I say, hey, it's time for me to head home. My friend W walks me out to my truck. He says, you know why I invited you to the party tonight? I says, not really. He says, because my friend right there that you talked to, she has cancer. It's the second time, it's not looking very good, and I don't know how to give her hope. And that's why I wanted you to come tonight. Wow, that's pretty powerful. I don't know where hope is, but there's something about you that says maybe you got a connection with what hope looks like. I just came home. I was pretty excited. told my wife maybe I could be the chaplain of the poker party. Not sure exactly what that looks like. So I stop by from time to time. It's not all the time, but it's enough, like, where his friends have now, they know who I am when I come in. I'm not the odd guy anymore, but I mean, I just come in and I'm just part of what they do. I'm going to act a little different and talk a little different, but I'm still there. Not usually preaching at them, just I'm there. It's amazing the conversations that come up when they know that, and they want to talk about certain issues and sometimes some hot topics and hot buttons that we all like to talk with people, but I found if I let them bring it up, they're much more receptive to listen and have a dialogue about what something says or doesn't say. Passage of scripture that I've had to reflect on. It's in Matthew chapter 22. I'll read it to you. It's just a few verses. It'll be familiar once I get going, or at least a chance that it is. It says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, a couple things I want to point out from that verse. It says they asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment?" Right? Asked him, "What's the greatest? What's the most important?" And Jesus thought these two verses were so, or these two commands were so interconnected, he couldn't just tell them one. He had to tell them two. Following that, they only asked, "What's the greatest?" He could have stopped, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." But he goes on, he says, and the second one, it's really important too, because it's just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the second is just like it. I want to read another passage out of Deuteronomy 6. This is kind of where Jesus got the greatest commandment from. Okay, it was Israel's battle cry, the Shema. It's what they knew is kind of their identity. And Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says, "Listen, people of Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Always remember these commands I give you today. Teach them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Write them down and tie them to your hands as a sign. Tie them on your forehead to remind you, and write them on your doors and gates." So Jesus is referencing back to this Old Testament. They had just come out of Egypt. They were getting their freedom, okay? And he says, man, you need to talk about this stuff with your kids, about how we love the Lord, and like when you get up, when you sit down, I mean, when you're going to Menards, when you're coming back, okay, when you eat at Steak and Shake, I mean, all of the things that you might do, bring your kids along on the journey with you and tell them about our God. And then Jesus ties the second verse with this amazingly important one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If I want to see something that looks just like me, what do I look at? Look at a mirror, right? It's a reflection. But a reflection. The thing I've wrestled through on this is like, what if my love for my neighbor is a direct reflection of my love for God? What if how I love them is really probably how I love my Father? Because Jesus put those two right together. Why would he do that? Why would he take when they ask the greatest commandment? You just need to love God. And he says, no, it's not just that. You need to love your neighbor too. John 1:14 says, "So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." You see, this Jesus guy And I don't mean to speak that belittling at all. He left heaven and moved into the neighborhood. Right? He didn't commute. He didn't like sleep in heaven and come down to earth during the day. He lived amongst them. And who did he live amongst? The people to whom he was sent. I mean, it was really Israel. It wasn't to the, at that point in time, it's not the whole world. He really stayed right there in the area of Israel. That's the people he was called to. That's who he lived amongst. That's who he stayed amongst. They were his neighbors. And he did life with them. He could have just kind of stayed in and like, I'm the light of the world. I don't really, you know, if you guys see me, great. But if not, that's okay. But no. I need to live amongst you. I need to be amongst you. So this wrestle is, what's God ask of you with your neighbors? Who are you on this long journey with that maybe I'm not going to invite them to church first, but I can tell them about my Jesus, praying with them, sharing about my life, a meal together. We're going to just talk about life, relationships, kids, parents, all of the things. What I found in the church world, often, and this word came up a couple years ago, this quid pro quo, often we have a relationship with people that says, like, if you come to my church, I'll be friends with you. But if you don't come to my church, I don't know if I have time. Or maybe sometimes our neighbors, like, I'm going to go invite you, and it's limited, like, if you do this, then we can be. But if you don't, well, I'm just going to drive past your house. I don't really have much of a need to connect. And I think, church, we have been called to be the salt and the light to the earth. If the world seems dark, why does it seem dark? That's one reason, because we're not shining bright enough. That's it. There is no flashlight that you can buy that shines darkness. Okay? You can't buy it. It doesn't exist. All you can do is have the absence of light, and then darkness will be there. We, you, us, we are called to represent Jesus in the places that we are. Jesus sent the 72 out, sent them two by two. And they were go to find people of, do you know the word? Find people of peace. Okay, and if they are, stay with them. And if they're not, shake the, you guys remember this passage? What do? Shake the dust off your feet and move along. So if in your neighborhood, I mean, this is the hard, like for me, wrestling through, like if the people in my neighborhood aren't my people of peace, I have to move. I have to relocate. Because I'm supposed to kind of make my place among people of peace. I want to take just a moment, and I want to ask you to bow your head, and I'm going to ponder also. And this is what I want you to ask God. God, what is it you want me to do in my neighborhood this week? Who do you want me to talk to? What conversation do you want me to start? What action am I supposed to do? Who is it this week? And we're going to spend about 30 seconds, and I just want you to listen. I believe often Holy Spirit can speak clearly and he can speak quickly. So I want just a few things. What did you hear God ask you to do this week? I'd like a couple of you to share. Yep.
Keep the welcome mat out.
Keep the welcome mat out. Okay. Somebody else. What did you hear God say, ask you to do this week? supposed to have a conversation with the ones in your apartment building, all right? A couple more. What did you hear God say? Oh, do it even if it's uncomfortable. It might be uncomfortable. Yeah. One more. What did you hear God say?
Be available.
Be available. Yeah. This might be difficult to hear, but the current culture that we live in is often not going to take their first steps with Jesus in the church building. It's often not going to be the place they're going to do it. Jesus invited the first disciples to come follow him, to do life with him. He didn't invite them to the temple. Hey guys, you need to come to church with me next week. That's not what he said. Come do life with me. The temple was important, but it was where the Jews came to worship. In our current culture, the church is where Christians come to worship. But your neighbors often aren't going to come to your church to worship your God if they are not welcome at your home or in your life. They're just not. If you want youth here, it's going to be because you've made a connection with the youth in your neighborhood or your 2-mile section. I want to encourage you because some of you look like you have more years, more wisdom in life than I do. Don't devalue yourselves. How many of you guys are familiar with the movie Star Wars? Am I familiar with that? Do you know who like the most beloved character is on Star Wars? Yoda. He's old, okay? You say he's dead? Well, not, you know, we're going to back up when he's still not dead, okay? Because I'm talking to the not dead people here, okay? But Yoda is one of the most beloved. Why? Because he invests, he loves, and he spends time with Luke and the other young people. Like, he's always sharing wisdom. Don't devalue the wisdom that you have. I hope to challenge each of you to make a commitment that you be the chaplain, the pastor, the spiritual guide to your neighborhood. The best neighbor that they have. I want to ask you to take responsibility. If you can name the faith community that is already caring for a neighbor, you might be able to cross them off your list. But if you can't, you're it. You're the Jesus in your neighborhood. And if we all begin to do that, how might we see our community look different, our state look different, our nation look different, and our world look different? We see mass shootings, we see chaos on this earth, and I tell you what, it's really hard to kill people that you love. Okay? And what I mean by that is if we'll really start loving people well, it's really hard to stay mad at people that are really trying to love you well. And I think our whole world can change, but we have to start doing it in our neighborhood, the second greatest commandment that Jesus said. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have put us amongst people, a place that we can dwell and live and call home. God, I thank you that you have given us a voice and that we have hope in Jesus Christ. Lord, I would ask as we process what you said today to us that we need to take next steps doing, that we would be faithful to what you have asked of us. And Lord, that through that people might see the good works that we do and praise our Father in heaven. May this congregation be a congregation that their neighbors thank God that they are in their neighborhood. And that they would come to know you personally because of the love that they have seen from these members in each of the people's own neighborhood. Lord, thanks for loving us and letting us speak on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh. Get up there and sit down. Oh, man. Whew. You know, we got a drug problem here. I had to drag me in. Oh, my. Well, I found this little message, and it's author unknown, so I'm not taking any credit for it today. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And even when he is old, I see a few of those, he will not depart from it. I was drugged by my parents. When I was asked why we didn't have a drug problem when we were growing up, this is what I said. I had a drug problem when I was young. I was drugged to church on Sunday. I was drugged to church for weddings and funerals. I was drugged to the family reunions. Drugged by my ears when I was disrespectful to the adults. I was drugged to the woodshed when I disobeyed my parents. If I told a lie, if I brought home a bad report card, if I didn't speak with respect, if I spoke ill of my teacher, or if I did not put forth my very best effort in everything that was asked of me. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he won't die. Got a little testimony from Gene this morning on that, I do believe. Verse 14. But if you strike him with the rod, you will save his soul from Sheol. A child learns wisdom from discipline. I was drugged to the kitchen sink to have my mouth washed out with soap if I uttered profanity. That means cussing. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be gracious. And Romans 12:14, bless, do not curse. Those drugs are still in my veins, and they affect my behavior. They're stronger than cocaine, crack, or heroin. There's a lot of bad drugs out there, but we got a lot of good healing drugs, too. We got to get addicted to Jesus. If our children today had this kind of a drug problem, America would be a better place. Luke 18:16 tells us, but Jesus called the little children to him, and he said, come to me, don't hinder them. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Well, it's time to come to VBS this week, and we're all excited about that. So we're going to drag them in, and we're going to get them addicted to Jesus. Amen.